introduce you with many changes that have occurred during the last months in the GDAL project and LibGeoTIFF libraries regarding how coordinate reference systems are handled. And to be short, I will abbreviate it as CRS. So CRS is coordinate reference system. So first, have a look at the how the situation was before regarding how CRS and coordinate operation dictionaries were handled. So you have probably all heard about the EPSG database, which is a database of CRS and their transformation, which is published by IOGP every few months. So they release that database in a number of formats, and for example, like a PostgreSQL database dump. So before we had this situation where in LibGeoTIFF, there was a Python script that would import this database in PostgreSQL and then do a few requests, reprocess it, extract transformation from the CRS to WGS84, and dump that in a few custom CSV files. The CSV files were used by LibGeoTIFF. And then someone would copy the CSV files into GDAL, and GDAL has its own logic to parse the CSV files and reconstruct CRS object from them. And GDAL had another Python script that would parse the CSV files and export the CRS definition as proj strings, you know, like this stuff, proj equal UTM, ZON31, datum WGS84. So quite messy. And actually the best factor for this whole process was two people, myself and Howard Butler. But most annoying, you realize that there are three different versions, potential versions of the EPSG database. So depending on the tool you used and how recent it was, you could have different versions of the EPSG database. And so that was quite a mess because you got different results and it was really hard to figure out why. And you will notice that we don't have logos for proj and LibGeoTIFF, so please contribute logos. So when you want to transform coordinate between two CRS, I found that it was a bit like this famous movie by Sergio Leone, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And be reassured, if you haven't seen it, I won't spoil it, I promise. So let's start with the good. So it's this simple situation where you want to transform between two CRS that use the same geodetic datum. For example, you want to transform from a UTM projection to the geographic version using the WGS84 datum, for example. And this is a simple case because it's an exact operation from a mathematical point of view. It's really well defined. You can get an accuracy to the nanometer level or even better sometimes. So this is, yeah, the good situation. And now you have the ugly one, or maybe in Italian, il brutto. It's described better the subtlety of it. It's when you want to transform between CRS that don't use the same geodetic datum. So here I took the example of New Zealand, where you have this old New Zealand 49 datum, and you want to transform to the new version, the 2000. And in the EPSG database, you have actually two direct transformations from that. But until Proj 6, we didn't have the logic to do this direct transformation. So we had to go every time through WGS84, which is called the early binding approach. And so each time when you accumulate transformation, you accumulate inaccuracies. So in this process, the first transformation has a maximum accuracy of 1 meter, and the second one also an accuracy of 1 meter, so depending if you sum up or take the max of them, you add finally a 1 meter or 2 meter inaccuracy, whereas if you had be able to use a direct transformation using a grid, you could have a 20 centimeter accuracy. So clearly that was something suboptimal. But if there are people from New Zealand in this room, they will say that it's a bad example, because actually, if you look at this second transformation, it's a null transformation, because the New Zealand 2000 datum is considered at some epoch to be equivalent to the WGS 84 datum. So in that particular case, yeah, the brutal approach was not that bad. And actually, it was not that bad for a number of situations. But now I will come to the bad. And there are a few bad situations, like when you want to transform between the Japanese datum 2000 to the new version, the 2011, the one that was created after the earthquakes that led to the Fukushima catastrophe. And in that case, you have a transformation between the 2000 datum and WGS 84, but you don't have one between WGS 84 and the 2011 version. So the early binding approach didn't work. And here you really need to use a late binding approach, where if you take the northern part of Japan, the one where the earthquake occurred, you have a correction grid. And for the southern part of Japan, it's a null transformation, because the datums are the same. And another bad, I like taking example far from Europe, so it reduces the chance that people can contradict me. So this one is for Australia. And so they have this GDA 94 datum, which is the old new datum of Australia, and the newer one, the GDR 2020. And here it's really bad, because GDR 94 was considered to be equal to WGS 84 in 94, and GDR 2020 is going to be considered as equal as WGS 84 in 2020. So in the EPSD database, you have null transformation for both steps. So if you use a two-step approach, you get a zero shift at all. Whereas in the meantime, Australia has moved by 1 meter and 80 centimeters to the northeast. So clearly here, we need to use a direct transformation. So yes, we had really a need to modernize the CRS management in the CC++ ecosystem. And with the help of Howard Butler to chase for sponsors, we managed to gather funding to make this work possible, and we dubbed it as a GDAL-born effort. So what does Project 6 does? It now managed WKT, which was previously in GDAL. So it managed all the variants you can find in the wild, the S3, WKT, the WKT1 variant that was used by GDAL M2.0, and the two variant of WKT2, the 2015, and the latest version that has just been published like 10 days ago, the 2019 version. It also implements C++ class hierarchy, implementing the OGC Abstract Topic 2 model. So we have now proper modelization of CRS object in Purge. And this was quite a substantial effort, because the number of lines of code in Purge has doubled before and after this effort. Another aspect is that instead of using CSV files, we now use SQLite database, so it offers better query capabilities, and we can integrate in a seamless way several catalogs from EPSG, S3, the French National Geographic Institute, and maybe soon we'll have also the International Astronomic CRS database. It implements a late binding CRS transformation approach. I mentioned before that is the capability to directly use transformation from the source to the target CRS instead of going through WGS 84 systematically. It can make use of area fuses, because when you have two CRS, you can have different transformation according to the place where you are. If you're in the United States, you can have a transformation per state, for example. And it also has better temporal handling with a new concept like dynamic datums and datum ensembles. A new utility has been added, PurgeInfo, and I strongly recommend you use it if you want really to understand what CRS transformations are done, because it will give you the number of steps and which steps there are and their accuracy. So for example, here at the bottom, I transform between GDR94 and GDR2020, and it tells me that 5 possible transformation with a name and their accuracy, and you can get more details. Here it's just a summary. No, a little question for you. You see this purge string, and can you tell me which CRS it is supposed to represent? Come on. Because I am pretty sure you have seen it a lot of times. No? Okay, so this one can be used for all these CRS. So ETRS 99 in Europe, the Australian datum, the Japanese datum, the New Zealand datum, datum in North America, in Latin America, and many, many others. So purge strings to represent CRS are really a no-go in this new approach, this late binding approach, because they don't encode the datum information. Or, I mean, they encode a transformation to WGS84, which can be clearly suboptimal in use cases. So instead of using them, use EPS decodes or WKT, and in the version of Project 6.2 that is going to be released in a few days, you can use what we have called ProjSON, which is a JSON encoding of WKT2. So you have a number of options now to convey CRS strings. Regarding work that has been done in GDAL, so Proj6 is now a required dependency. Up to now, it used to be a strongly recommended dependency, but now it's required. So all the WKT support code is now down in Proj itself. So it brings capability to handle WKT2. And actually, WKT2 deployment in the wild was a bit hindered by the fact that GDAL didn't handle it. So now, clearly, WKT2 usage can raise a lot. We no longer have any CSV file related to CRS, and so now the GDAL database for CRS is a Proj database. So everything is centralized now. We have the capability to do time-dependent coordinate operation if you deal with dynamic datums, where the coordinate must be accompanied with a coordinate epoch. You can specify this coordinate epoch to have really a precise transformation. We have this new CT switch, which has been added to the OGR, to OGR and GDAL warp utilities, and it enables you to specify the exact coordinate transformation pipeline as a proj string. And you will typically get it from the proj info utility I just mentioned before. So this is clearly an advanced switch when you want to precisely control which coordinate transformation you do. And last item, a number of people will consider more as a bug than a feature, is that the EPSG axis order is now enforced at the low level by default. That means if you use EPSG 3.4.2.6, the first component of the coordinate tuple will be the latitude. So that you must be aware of that if you use the lower services of GDAL. In GDAL 3, it has switched to EPSG axis order by default. And we have some parameters to use a traditional GIS order because it's still convenient in a lot of situations. Regarding libgeotiff, projects is now a required dependency. It no longer uses any CSV file, and it just queries a project database when it needs to resolve an object like an ellipsoid definition from its code. Regarding the adoption of this, so we had versions of Pro, GDAL, and libgeotiff since the first semester of this year. And Proj 6 API is being used by a number of projects. So QGIS 3.8 is now using Proj 6 capabilities. The new version of GRASS, PostGIS 3 will also be able to use it. Poodle 2, which has been released a few days ago, also uses Proj 6. Map Server 8 will use Proj 6 too. And we have a wiki page where you can find the adoption status of all those packages. And I've seen recently that Debian is transitioning to Proj 6. So Proj 6 and GDAL 3 will be soon in the latest Debian distribution. So I must thank, of course, all the sponsors of the GDAL Barn effort, because without them, it wouldn't have been possible. And that's all. So. So any questions?
I remember that there were some old Esri well-known ID numbers that were somewhere in those CSV files that kind of helped map data that used those well-known ID numbers. Have those been put into the SQLite database?
Yes, we actually, S3 has a GitHub repository where they publish all their CRS and transformation database. And this has been completely pulled in as a Proj database. So you will find all the S3 current and even deprecated code in it. Other question?
Is there a mechanism in place to specify where the database is located?
Sure, there are even several ones. So you have this proglib environment variable that has been used for years or decades. And you also have an API call, proj set database pass, or something like that. Other question?
Is there epoch information in the EPSG database, or is that coming for the epoch? The time information for the datums.
Time support in the EPSG database is slowly going into the database, and actually they are going to do a major change in their data model in the few months from the end of this year. Normally, they will release a new data model where they will probably have more. Support for temporal data.
Okay. I'm currently working with a reference system for which there is no EPSG codes, and I contact the EPSG and they don't even reply, so I guess there will never be one. Is there any possibility of having this reference system inserted into the new Proj database?
So, technically, there's no issue to add a new CRS definition. I mean, the database is quite, structure is valid for any CRS definition. So we can technically do that. I think we don't really want to become a Proj CRS authority because, Christian, there's a no, don't do that. Because yeah, it's a tough job. I mean, to assert if a CRS definition is a correct one or not. So it would be more on a case by case. I would say first try with EPSG to see if they want to accept. Well, you try, then yeah, maybe in that case we can consider it if it suffers of sufficient general interest to, I mean.
Some other authority like Esri or somebody like that, because those are pulled in too.
Yeah, but yeah, when you define something, you need to have some expert knowledge to know if the I have contacts with a person at EPSG, and they say that sometimes they receive contribution from different agencies, and sometimes they say, well, you provided us with crap. I mean, your CRS definition is wrong. Just fix it first. So you really need strong expertise to know if the CRS definition is good. And yeah.
And also, if you contact Esri, like, they love putting new coordinate systems in, I find. One thing, you said no prod strings, but there still is prod string support, right?
Yeah, we couldn't remove it. It would just have been a nightmare for everyone using prod to know. So it's still there, but it's clearly a deprecated way to encode a CRS. So, I mean, if you considered using the new Proj API, you should also consider storing your CRS definition in WKT, or if you know the EPSG code, just store it. It's much more reliable, and it has much more content that will enable Proj to find the appropriate transformation.
Let's say I'm developing some lightweight embedded application, and I always know the coordinate systems I'll be transforming between. Is it possible to not use this whole server machinery to always specify the sequence of transformations I'll be using?
You would need to do a custom build, I guess, to, for example, strip out projection method you don't know. Or you can just look at the source code and extract the few lines of maths you need. And if you're really constrained by the size, it would probably be the better option. I know that some people have used WebAssembly to transpile for the browser, so it's technically doable. I don't know how it performs, but people have tried it.
I have used WebAssembly, and on this topic of lightweight, I'm a bit concerned about the C++. So we use the C API from the Proj 4, so now this is all C++ only, right? So I have a dependency on the C++ standard library, and this linkage issue between different compilers is much more difficult than with C compilers, so this is a big concern for me with the new version.
Yes, so there's still a C API. C++ is a required dependency to build new Proj.
C++ bindings to a C API, because this is such a critical core functionality of the whole Joule stack, it would make a lot of sense to me to do it. And I'd volunteer to do it if you were.
So you say you volunteer to rewrite the C++ stuff into C, or?
On top of the C. So rewrite the C++ into C, then have the same classes calling the C bindings. This calling the C core. Basically flipping it the classic way to do it with the C++ classes as bindings to the C code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it's a huge effort.
it's so critical, because when you compile to WebAssembly, now with the C++ dependency, it's going to make your WebAssembly so much bigger than the PHP 4 version. So that means lower load time, longer.
Yeah, I'm not sure I have a definitive answer to this. Yeah, that's. Yeah, we can talk to that later.
Thank you, Evan. Thank you, all the speakers, and thank you all for coming to this session. I hope you enjoyed. And now enjoy the coffee break. See you later.